Hello everyone, welcome to Chan Podcast. Here is where you learn about meditation and Chan. So, what is Chan? Chan, spelled as C-H-A-N, is the Chinese school of Mahayana Buddhism and is the originating tradition of Japanese Zen. We encourage you to learn and practice meditation with a group. If you'd like to, feel free to visit our website londonchanmeditation.org.
Tonight, I'll be giving a talk on the teaching of no thought in the Platform Sutra. I have sent you a few paragraphs, three paragraphs of the Platform Sutra in the chapter four. The chapter of the samadhi and wisdom, cultivation of samadhi and wisdom. There are three paragraphs all about the teaching of no thought. You can check your chat room to see whether, if you would like to download and open it, and so we can read a paragraph together. And I also, here I also share screen with this teachings. Some of you may not be able to download if you're using your cell phone or whatever, and at least we can read this together. There are three paragraphs, but actually no thought is very, very important teaching. In the Platform Sutra, no thought with no form or formlessness and non-abiding. No thought, no form, non-abiding. It's the three essential key points. Three essentials in the teachings of the Platform Sutra. And all these three are related, interrelated. Now let's read this. I also included the original, the Chinese text in after each paragraph. So for some of you who can read Chinese, it will be also at your convenience. No thought. This teaching of ours has first taken non-thought as its central doctrine, the formless, more no form, as its essence, and non-abiding as its fundamental. The formless is to transcend characteristics within the context of characteristics. Non-thought is to be without thought in the context of thoughts. Non-abiding is the basic nature of human beings. By the way, I'm taking the translation from Zhang Meray, a very well-known scholar in Chinese Buddhism, mostly with a minor change. The second paragraph, all worldly things of good and evil, beauty and ugliness, enemies and friends, even during times when one meets with insults, criticism, bullying, verbal and physical attacks, treat all of this as empty and harbor no thoughts of either delight or revenge. The third paragraph, in each continual moment of thought, do not dwell on previous thoughts. If you think about the previous thoughts, the present thought, and take up future thoughts, then your thoughts will continue without cease. This is called fettered or bondage. If In each continual moment of thought, you do not cling to anything at all. Any kind of phenomenon, anything at all. It is to be unfettered. It is freedom from bondage. This is the meaning of non-abiding. This is the meaning of non-abiding as our basis. Okay. So I hope you have some idea after reading through the three paragraphs. Okay. And now I'd like to start from the very beginning. You know, the teaching of ours. From its very inception, has first taken non-thought as its central doctrine, the formless as its essence, and non-binding as its fundamental. This teaching of ours, meaning the teachings that the Master Huinan is going to give, they actually this teaching from its very inception, meaning from the Buddha's time. It originated from the teaching from the Buddhas. And throughout the centuries and practiced by all the masters. And three principles, these three essentials are exactly upholding and embody in their practice. First is non-thought as its central doctrine. It also means, actually, this central doctrine in Chinese means zong. Zong has the meaning of the goal, the purpose. Actually, non-thought is where one start practice. One begin one's practice with non-thought. Make an effort to work on this. Non-thought is the beginning, also the end. Reaching the goal of attaining the state of non-thought. Non-thought is the beginning where you start practice, where you start use the method, and also is the goal to reach. And the formless is its essence. You know, when one engages in the practice, we need to have a method. We need to have an object we can direct our awareness to, direct our mind to, as a basis that we can focus. We can settle our mind to cultivate the mind. We need that object. And that has to have some essence or substance. It cannot be without any substance at all. We need to engage in the practice with something that really exists in a form, in certain form, that we can get hold on to, that can be our object. You know, all the methods we use, like sight illumination or just sitting, the body is the object. It's that we direct our awareness to. It's the method. It's the method we start to work on. The breath, the tactile sensation, to be aware of the air coming in and out of your nostril. The breath is the object. You need something tangible, not intangible, not completely without any form, that we could not make an effort or direct our effort to. So formless, we begin with practice with a method in certain form, and eventually, and making the progress to reach the form, to reach the goal of formless. The true form is without any form. The true form is formless. To realize that, not conceptually, understanding, comprehend this, embrace this idea, but physically experience, realize that the true form is actually no form. With our practice, with the method. So we start with the method in certain form, and in order to realize that true form is no form. And then and the non-abiding as its fundamental, it's the basis, it's the principle. It's the principle. Non-abiding throughout, no matter what method you use, not to become attached. Non-abiding is the principle, is the fundamental. So no thought, non-thought is to be without thought in the context of thought. What does it mean? What does no thought, non-thought means? I mean, what kind of circumstances or who will actually have no thought at all? Do you know anybody that completely without any thought, having no thought at all? What kind of state would that be? Yeah, at that person. Only that person have no thought. So non-thought often misunderstood, mistaken of having completely having no thought. That's incorrect. Only a dead person or a rock or a tree trunk, that could be without any thought. So a lot of people misunderstand no thought as having completely not any thought, which is wrong. If you don't have thought at all, how could you use the method? What will the method or the practice do any good for you? You don't know how to direct the effort. You don't know where to settle your mind. You don't know how to use the method at all. I mean, that's completely nonsensical, right? So what does mean no non-thought is to be without thought in the context of thoughts? Well, first, without starting to practice, without starting to count our breath, without starting to relaxing our body, when we realize that we have a lot of wandering thoughts, discursive thoughts, scatteredness. Our thoughts are all over the places. We saw we can really direct our mind to can control what we think. But actually not. So all these wandering thoughts and versus right thoughts, where your mind's supposed to be. When you are using the method, your mind is completely on the method, having no other thoughts than the method, than practicing with the method. That's the right thought, right? When you are sitting, you just sit. When you are eating, you just eat. You don't eat your meal, eat your food, and then thinking about checking the tags, making appointments, and you know, what are you going to plan for tomorrow? Those are wandering thoughts, even though when your mind is completely on the method, the right thoughts. Discursive thoughts, wandering thoughts, or the right thoughts, including the right thoughts from the perspective of Chan school and Chan meditation. They are all wandering thoughts. They are all illusory thoughts. They are all illusory. In the so-called right thought, it's actually to collect all the wandering thoughts and then make it into a concentrated one single thought, which is on the method. Concentrated thoughts, or just one single thought on the method, single-mindedly practicing, single-mindedly practicing the method, using the method, that's the right thought. When from moment to moment, from thought to thought, you're counting your breath. From this thought to the next thought, thought after thought, you are investigating the water. From thought to thought, you are engaged in just sitting, fully aware of that you're just sitting. You're practicing that illumination, thought after thought, right thought. Incessantly, thought after thought, right on the method. That is called the right thought. Actually, we are using this right thought to replace all the wandering thoughts, to consolidate, to simplify, to unify all the wandering thoughts to this one single thought called right thought. Even this one single right thought, from Chan perspective, are also illusory that we should all let go. Let go, not abide on them. Not abiding on any kind of these thoughts. When we reach that state, when all the thoughts are completely let go, including that one single-minded thought. Have to let go. And then that is the state of non-thought. Okay? I hope you are now clear about this this non-thought, what it means. When I'm mistakenly or thinking that, you know, completely having no thought at all. But perhaps as your practice go deeper and deepening the math, your practice, if you still have this awareness that knowing that you're using the method, no matter whether it's the right thought, single-mindedness, you haven't reached enlightenment yet. You haven't reached the state of no thoughts. If you still feel or having this experience, oh, I'm in this such a state that you are not at the state of non-thought yet. You haven't reached the enlightenment. So why do we why did I say that, you know, we begin our practice by using or practicing this teaching of non-thought, and which is also the ending to reach that state of non-thought, to directly experience, realize the state of non-thought. You know, no matter which method we use, counting the breath, experiencing breath, or even the sign illumination, or even the hua tong, we begin our practice with a method, while the object with form, in the form of a phrase, verbal, if it's counting the breath, a certain kind of form, through the tactile sensation, there's a form, the body, physical form, right, as an object that direct our effort to, direct our awareness to. When we begin to practice, then we realize we really have a lot, way too much, way too many wandering thoughts that we would like to have, all over the places, anywhere, but just not where it's supposed to be settled down. So all over the places, discursive, scattered thoughts. So with that method, we are collecting all the discursive, wandering thoughts to right now, and then settle down on this method, collecting all the wandering thoughts. And then once our mind can settle down on the method, then we start to be more focused, be able to concentrate better, and reach the state of a concentration. Mind is concentrated, although, you know, you may still notice that there are some wandering thoughts here and there, but it will not actually disrupt or interrupt your usage, your practice of the method, that you are aware that you are breathing. Yeah, very clear that the sensation of your breath, the counting, didn't get interrupted, or, you know, or totally lost count, or concentrate the mind. And then go deeper and deeper, and your practice deepening your mind. Completely, calmly settle down, abiding on the method, and reach a unifying state, reach the state of unity, a single-mindedness. This is also called single-mindedness, the state of a single-mindedness, that you no longer be able to discern or feel your body or the environment. That you that the body and the environment are together as one, a unity. Even in that state, you know, a lot of people will tend to think they're enlightened. You know, completely pervasive, broad, wide openness. Even in that state, there's still this thought. And then we need to go one level up to reach the state of no thought, to reach the state of no mind. That this self-centeredness, this mind of self-centeredness, completely shattered. free of any self-referentiality, free of any egonism, self-centeredness, the selfishness, the I. So that's why I said from the beginning, when we practice, we had a method, you know, to cultivate the mind from scatteredness, discursiveness, from chaotic state, and slowly down to a simplified and clear state of mind and reach unity. And then in the end, completely let go of even the ego, the self, reaching the state of no thought and no mind. Actually, the thought is the mind. The thought is the revelation of our mind. It's the revelation of our mind. And the formless is to transcend characteristics within the context of characteristics. Okay? The formless is to transcend the characteristics within the context of characteristics. You know, when we do sitting meditation, whatever going on in the environment, in our body, or even in our mind, most likely we will react to that. You know, it's too noisy, then we feel irritated, we wish that noise disappear. That's a reaction. That's being affected by the environment. Okay, you are not free from that that form. That exists, but not to be affected by that. Then you will actually see, able to see the true form of that existence. All existence comes with certain form. When you're sitting, you feel pain, you feel numbness, soreness. These are all physical form. And when we, you know, just like when we're doing the A forms, you feel very differently in the end compared with the very beginning. Your body more relaxed and flexible. You feel comfortable in the sitting. Yeah, when our practice go deepening, our breath and go through changes. Our body goes through changes. We have new experience of our body and our breath. A new experience to us that we don't usually experience that in our everyday life or every sitting. Some of the sitting, yeah, your breath, your body, or mind goes through very subtle changes. And all these changes, it's a form of the body, a form of the mind, a new experience. And then how you perceive the world, the environment also change. And that tells us what you believe, what you know at the very beginning of this body and the mind or the environment actually are not the same anymore. They're the same existence, but your experiences are totally different. The form, that existence with that particular form actually gives you a totally different experience. So you will not be attached to that form, to that particular form. Your experience of that existence with that form has changed. So all these things that we may experience in our practice also will change our perception, our view of the existence of you know, those existence. When we perceive that experience, that existence, we label them with certain characteristics. And we thought, that's it. This is how we know all the existence. People, materials, objects, environments, even our feelings, we label them with those characteristics. And we saw that's those characteristics are them. But they are not. We are no longer confined, conditioned by that word. And when we become less and less attached, conditioned by the form, then we will have a chance to see the true form. You know, in our everyday life, this notion of I, you, they, you know, all sentient beings throughout the time frame. These are the form. So Plat Sutra, the no form teaching, formless teaching in the Platform Sutra, is resonating. The teaching in the Diamond Sutra. The Diamond Sutra talks, the entire time, the Diamond Sutra talks about the formless, the teaching of formless, not to be conditioned, attached by that form. And the fundamental is the form of I. I define my world by this center of I, the so-called I. And that's how we see others, the existence of other people, and sentient beings. Even we ourselves, our body, our mind, our feelings, they change all the time. Tell me which one is real, is the form, is the real form. You can't find it. Yeah, these seems all are me, you know. When I'm 20 years old, young and prettier, you know, and then 40 years, 30 years, 50 years, tell me which one is you. Even what you believe, what you appreciate, what you like at the age of 40 is very different from when you were 20 or 10 or 3. Tell me which one is you. Which form is you, is the form of you. So when we start to apply the teaching, not only in our practice, you know, we experience different sensation of the body and experience of the breath, but also apply it in our daily life. That helps us to get closer to that realization of true form in the context of characteristics. To transcend that, not to be conditioned, not become attached to their characteristics, then we will have a chance to see the true form. Okay? And next, non-thought is to be without thought in the context of thought. Okay? So in the context of thought, that tells us, we should have thoughts, right? If we don't have thoughts like a dead person, how can we practice? How we can benefit ourselves? How can we benefit others or benefit our societies? Yeah, alive human beings does have thoughts. without thought, in the context of thought. As I said, when in the practice, when we use the methods, we start from cultivating our mind to change, transform our mind from a completely chaotic, scattered, scatteredness, discursiveness into more concentrated mind, and then to be one single-minded unification, and then reach finally the no mind. So in all this process, we follow one very, very simple principle, which is also that we have introduced you in the practice of direct contemplation. You are the subject and direct your awareness to the object, the body in silent meditation, the breath methods, the breath, your breath in the breath method, the huato, the critical phrase when you are engaging in the huato practice, just directly to that. Whatever thoughts come in between you and the object, not the right thoughts, just don't pay attention to that. Don't interfere with that. Don't try to chase them off. Don't try to suppress them. It will naturally fall off. It will naturally lose its power. All these wandering thoughts will lose its power naturally. This is how we use the method. In the context of all the wandering thoughts, become free of those thoughts. Not to interfere, not to engage in, not to entertain with them, not to introduce yourself into the wandering thoughts, not to involve, not to follow, not to suppress, not to chase them away. Don't do anything. They will just lose their own power. This is how we make use of the practice correctly. Use the teaching, follow the teaching of non-thought where we use the method, where we practice. So how do we practice that in our daily life? You know, in our daily life, it's much, much more challenging. It's much, much more difficult. It's not like, you know, you're sitting, you don't have to bother, you don't have to deal with anything. You're in a very quiet, you know, and then environment and doing very simple thing, just sitting there, experience your body or breath. But in your daily life, the situation is much more complicated. You are always in action, in movements, interacting with other people, doing matters, dealing with, you know, a lot of things, and perhaps requires thinking, analyzing, you know, and conduction, you know, all these things. What is important is that each moment, each thought is a fresh new thought, fresh and new thought on its own, just like every single moment. The thought in the past vanish, and the thoughts following that arise, one thought of another, one thought following the thought, one thought of another. This makes up our life. Our life does not count by years or by days, but by thoughts, by the existence, by the rising existence and perishing of thoughts. One thought after another. That's how our life is. Unceasingly, thoughts after thoughts, that consists our life, that make up our life. So if your thoughts is always following the previous thoughts, when you are angry, the next thoughts, and the thoughts following that, and then the thoughts following that, that's the third thoughts, it's all angry thoughts. This is how your life, how you make your life. Rising, perishing, rising, perishing, rising, one thought after another. This is not how the life should be. Our life should every single moment be a new life, be a new moment in our life. So this is what we talk about, living in the present moment. No matter what we do, and be mindful, our mind settle down on the task at hand. Eating, while eating, eat, just eat. Listening, just listening. You are not just sitting there with your part, like parking your body in front of a person, your mind is somewhere else. You barely hear anything, much of what the other person said. Just listen, just eat. While walking, just walk with your whole being, with your body and mind there. Then you are living every moment fully. This is how the life should be fulfilled. Every moment is a new moment, it's a new life. After we live our life in this way, every moment we engage with our whole being, our body and mind. Completely, we give our body and mind in every moment we live. And after that moment, after that, after the meal, after, you know, after walking, after you have done this task, just don't become worried. Or worry what the outcome will be, you know, the consequences, how are they going to affect me? It's make me more famous and bring me some kind of interest or give me trouble. No. After you are done with it, don't be overly concerned of the consequences or the result, the effects. Yeah, you can still be, you know, you can still be, watch how it goes, you know, knowing what happens, but you don't have to be worried. Overly concerned. And then that is not just care about it, having the right concern about it, but becomes a vexation, becomes worries that eats your mind, eats your heart. So every single thought, you're clearly aware of everything. In the environment, in body and mind, very clear, but not to be affected by it, not become attached to it, or not to deny it, or not to hide it, suppress it. become attached, deny it, suppress it, you know, trying to get rid of it. All these are attachment. You're being affected by that. Then you are not free. You are not free from the thoughts. You're completely swallowed by that thought stream, by that stream of thoughts. And this is how your life, how you make your life. We don't want our life to be like that, right? So this is, you know, the teaching of non-thought. Okay. And non-biting is the basic nature of human beings. It's our original face. Glad that we have that nature. Non-abiding. If our basic nature is always abiding, we will never have a chance to become free of that. We will never be able to transform ourselves into someone with wisdom and compassion. Okay. The second paragraph, all worldly things of good and evil, beauty and ugliness, enemies and friends, even during times when one meets with insults, criticism, bullying, verbal and physical attacks, treat all of this as empty and harbor no thoughts of either delight and revenge. Yep. Those are the exact circumstances that creates the thoughts after thoughts. We will not be able to become freed. It's hard. You know, these are the very challenging situations that we got trapped in, those wandering thoughts, the swamp of wandering thoughts. Those something we see, recognize as good and evil, and then the next thoughts, we're affected by it. We like it, we love it, or we hate it, we dislike it. And then that affects your behaviors, verbal activities, mental activities, more thoughts, more following thoughts, or actions. Your physical actions, physical behaviors, your bodily languages. And that, you know, arouse more and more. Same with beautiful things, ugly things, beautiful people, ugly people. Enemies and friends. Enemies and friends are not forever. We can turn enemies into not enemies and perhaps friends. Or during times when one meets, you know, we are insulted by others, being criticized by others, bullied by others, even perhaps got verbal or physical attacks. You know, this is my teacher, Master Shen Yan, has taught us, you know, when we hear praise, you know, not only insults or criticism, somebody praise you, admire you, you know, all this kind of good words, they're the same as the insults and criticism, verbal attacks, slurs, you know, us, and take it as just a form. They are all forms, verbal forms, physical forms. They are all forms. Take it as just a form, as a sound, the way of sound in the space, in the environment. Okay, there are sound. You know, is that person want to utter those words? I didn't ask for that. you know. No, that's it. That's what he's on doing. I have nothing to do with it. I don't want to be have anything to do with that. Right? Verbal attacks, okay. All right. Just like the sound in the air. Physical attacks, okay. All right. So if need certain the medical treatment and get treated. So what? You know, we can also, you know, fall down on the ground when we walk, when we run, or even, you know, walk on, you know, pedestrians, you know, we probably get hit or birds fly over your head and push, you know, all this could happen. But if we can not to be affected by all these things, by all the appearance, all the forms of those existing, by the verbals, attacks or insults, or by the all those verbal forms or physical forms, we are not affected by that, then we will have a chance to see the nature of that things, of that existence. When we are not affected by that, when somebody starts saying harsh words to you, start to insult you, your reaction will not be, oh, how could he do that to me? Oh, I'm in pain, I'm suffering. But they will actually be able to see that person. You know, you will actually see, you know, the condition of that person. You know, he's in a terrible condition. He's completely afflicted. He's completely vexed. He feels hurt. He feels threatened. You actually are able to see more. You go beyond those verbal attacks. You go beyond those criticisms, those insults. You actually see the fear in frightening and in insecurity, agitation in that person. You go beyond that. When we are able to go beyond that, you stop that stream of thoughts. Stream, you actually eliminate, terminate that stream of wandering thoughts there. That actually cut off the cycle of birth and death, transmigration. You will not be conditioned or controlled by the karmic energy, by the karma, not anymore. You are actually freeing yourself from karma. Free yourself from that cycle of birth and death. So this is very important. Not to follow, not to trace, not to affected by, you know, the previous thoughts. Affected by the environment, by the people in the environment, by your physical condition, your mental condition. When you see that, and not to be affected by that, you become free. The third paragraph, in each continued moment of thought, do not dwell on previous thoughts. Okay, not abide on previous thoughts. If you think about the previous thoughts, the present thought, and then take up future thoughts, then your thoughts will continue without cease and all messed up. This is called fetter. No one fetter you but yourself. You're fettered by the previous thought, present thoughts and future thoughts. You create this bondage. You condition yourself. If in each continual moment of thought, you do not cling to anything at all, you do not be affected, you do not condition, you do not become attached to any phenomenon at all, any phenomenon, physical, material, mental, psychological, sensational, not cling to, not be affected, not become attached to any phenomena at all. And this is to be unfettered. This is free yourself from that bondage you created. And this is the meaning of non-biting. Is our basis, is our basic nature. Then we're able to see our original nature, our self nature, our original face. Okay. I think, in this talk, I explained the three essentials in this platform sutra, the three essential teachings: non-thought, no form or formless, and non-abiding, and how important it is related to our practice. And those three teachings are actually interrelated. And no thought is the beginning of our practice and also the end of our practice. And start from a mind full of wandering thoughts, discursive thoughts, scatterness, and we use the message. The method comes with a form. We need something physical, something tangible to work on, to direct our mind to settle our mind on. So with the method, we cultivate our mind, the thoughts, from discursiveness, scatterness, into a more concentrated, more focused, and then completely settled, and then one single-mindedness. And then finally reach the goal of no mind, which is also no thought. And in this process, whatever arises in the environment, in our body or our mind, and just not to be affected by those wandering thoughts, not to interfere, not follow them, not suppress them, not deny them. And then all these wandering thoughts will become powerless on its own. As long as you don't have to do anything at all, not pay attention to them. Don't even pay attention to them. All these wandering thoughts will gradually fall down and lose power. This is how we incorporate, embody this teaching of no thought in our practice. And in our everyday life, in all kinds of activities, just stay mindful at what we are doing. Just eat when eating our meal. Just walk while walking. Just sit when sitting. Do everything in every moment with our whole being, completely engaged with our body and mind. And when we are done with it, not to be overly concerned or become even worried and too much concern about how the outcome will be and how it will affect us. Just let go. let go of it. You have done your part, and there are other conditions that may affect the results or its effects afterwards. That's nothing you can control or you need to think about or even become worried about. Every single moment, you are very clear of your mind, your thoughts, and not to be affected by whatever is going on in the environment, in the present moment, whatever happens in front of you, no matter it's good or bad, beautiful or ugly, friendly or hostile, or even you're receiving praise or insults or criticisms, whatever. And then you are giving yourself an opportunity to be free from all that and reaching the goal of no thought. Okay. I'll end my tonight's talk here. Any questions from anyone here?